Welcome to the Out of Chicago podcast. I'm Chris Smith, and this is the show where we connect you with the world's best photographers, introduce you to epic photo locations, and help you get the most out of your photography passion. Today, I'm talking with fine art architecture photographer, Angie McMonagle. Hi, Angie.
Hi, Chris.
How are you? I'm great. Yeah. Good. I think that our very, you know, one of the very first Out of Chicago podcasts, we interviewed you, right? And it was like the very first time we ever did it like on location. Do you remember that? We were just like photographing and we're like, let's just sit on the steps here, right? Wasn't that kind of crazy?
It was at the University of Chicago on some weird balcony.
On the balcony, that's
right.
Very
old building.
That's right. We went up to like that auditorium and then we snuck outside onto the balcony and I interviewed you out there and neither one of us knew what we were doing. But that must have been like 5-6 years ago. Crazy, right? It's a while ago. Yeah. Yeah. And look at you now. So so let's talk about you. So Angie McMonagle, fine art, architecture, photographer. That's your thing. You're here in Chicago. And you're actually, you'll be, I think, sadly, the only, no, I mean, excitingly, the only photographer we've had for, well, I mean, just that we haven't had everyone back. The only photographer that'll have done every single Out of Chicago photography conference here in June. And so you're going to be teaching at that one. But yeah, tell us everything you've been up to. I don't know.
Oh my God.
I asked Angie, I said, Chris, do you want to know all the questions ahead of time? She's like, no. I said, all right, well, you're not going to know what to say, but perfect. Here we go.
So, of course I'm not.
So there, I stalled for like 10 seconds. What have you been up to?
What have I been up to?
Yeah, tons of stuff. Crazy.
Well, I still do a lot of work with art consultants. So licensing images to art consultants who place work in hotels most often for my stuff. Sometimes corporate offices, sometimes like common areas of condo buildings, things like that. Sometimes private collectors, not as much that, but it seems to be a little more this year with that. So that's good.
And that's something I want to talk about a little bit more later is, you know, how you got into this for you to give us all of your secrets, which I will not edit out. Thank you, Angie. You're the best. but you also are have a relatively new company website, The Photography Unfolded with Michael Mraz. Will you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. So Michael and I actually met at Out of Chicago.
I feel like there's a thank you here that you should be giving me.
Yes. Thank you so much.
You're welcome,
Chris.
Angie. You're welcome,
what
Michael.
What would I do without you?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I think in 2015, if I'm remembering correctly.
Sounds right to me.
I don't know. I'm not good with years.
I think that's what it says on your website, so we'll go with
probably.
It.
Probably. I'm sure Michael remembers better than I do.
We won't tell him that. And I'm sure he won't listen to this, so
he'll
perfect.
Just rub it in my face.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we met in 2015, and then I think in 2016, we taught for the first time at your conference the following year. And then later, early 2017.
That's when, just to make this clear, like that's when you kind of like became a thing, the two of you, somewhere in there. Let's just say that.
Well, more later than that.
Okay, whatever. Now you're a thing. Whatever.
Like about a year off, but yeah, like 2017.
All right, I'll let you continue. My bad. Keep going.
So in 2017, we taught our first workshop together outside of your conference in LA. And then we did one in Toronto that year, in Boston and Chicago. And then late 2017, we decided to kind of separate the workshop stuff from each of our own businesses because he does a lot of commercial architecture photography and then I do some of the fine art stuff. So we just kind of separated the workshop stuff from it and created a separate site called Photography Unfolded where we do all our workshop stuff through. So workshops and blog posts and things like that through there. So yeah.
Yeah. No, it was great. It's a great website and there's a lot to learn there. We're going to talk a little more about your workshops later. What's the deal with the name? Unfolded. Photography Unfolded. Or is this a Michael question?
No. Well, I don't know. He kind of actually is the one that came up with it. I'm terrible at naming anything, but it's Unfolded is more about like uncovering, discovering how to shoot. Like a lot of our workshops are, well, most of our workshops are about composition and things like that. So it's about kind of breaking down how to shoot architectural photography into little steps, you know, little compositional ideas that you can use individually, or often you combine them. So it's about kind of unfolding a way of seeing and how to approach the architecture.
Yeah, I mean, I think it makes a lot of sense. And if you guys don't know Angie's work, you need to go check it out. I mean, what's your site? Just angiemcmonagle.com, right? To look at a lot of your images. But the type of photography she does, you do a lot more abstract, it's not just the building. And so it's like taking a building and finding the really interesting shots, the patterns, whatever it may be, that's part of it. And so, I think that's what I think of when I hear that unfolded. It's taking something that's sitting there right in front of you and yet turning it into something that, that you turn into something really special. So, I don't know.
Chris, would you like to write a description for us or a way for me to explain that better?
Well, whatever it takes, I've always been super jealous of your photography, and, I don't know. I just love the images you get, and there's so many times, and I'm sure this happens with you on your workshops too, it's happened for me, where I'll go to places where you've shot and there's 15 of us there and none of us are getting anything that looks like yours. And it's like, gosh, I know this building, she's got amazing shots. Like, how does she pull it off? So that's the one thing that you have that is super special that, we're going to try and figure that out a little bit today, if that's okay.
Yes. And you're very kind. Thank you.
Yeah. Whatever. So let's, you said you go to, New York, Chicago, LA, where else? Toronto, that's where Michael lives.
Yeah, Miami was new this
year. Miami,
and
nice.
We did Paris last year.
Oh, right. I forgot about that, yeah.
Yeah, we're going to be in London this June to scout, so I think we're going to try to do London and Paris next year.
Very cool. Like London and Paris combined, or
they'll be like a week apart. So like a 4-day thing probably in London, and then maybe a week later, a 4-day thing in Paris. So people will have the option to do both or just one.
Yeah. You go all the way there.
You're over there, might exactly. as well go to both places, right?
Exactly. Very cool. So, I mean, the question I kind of want to ask is, you know, what are your very favorite cities for the type of photography that you do? And is the answer all the cities you just said?
I mean, yeah, there's great stuff in all the cities that I mentioned. I don't know that I have like a favorite city, you know, that I would say is a must see in terms of architecture, at least not yet. I mean, LA, all cities have like their pockets of great stuff. Like downtown LA, like there's a handful of like really amazing buildings within a couple blocks of each other. Of course, New York has some great stuff. But then there's like outliers like Milwaukee and the Milwaukee Art Museum, which is probably one of my favorite buildings that I've ever photographed. But outside of that, there's not like a tremendous amount to shoot in Milwaukee. So yeah. And I mean, of course, Paris is amazing.
Paris is okay. Yeah.
I've been there a lot. So there's always new stuff there too. So yeah, I don't know. I mean, in Chicago, I mean, come on.
Yeah, of course. Of course. So as far as Chicago goes, what are your favorite buildings to photograph in Chicago?
Well, Aqua, for sure. Anything by Jeannie Gang. So Aqua's a favorite. The Lincoln Park Pavilion. Those are two favorites.
She has a new building coming as well, right? Right on the river there?
Vista, yeah.
What's it called? Vista?
Vista Towers. So
Vista Towers, tell us about that.
Up until now, Aqua, which she designed, has been like the tallest skyscraper designed by a woman, and Vista's going to be much taller. So it's very close to that. But yeah, still under construction. It's getting up there.
So. Yeah. Can you describe it a little bit for people? I mean, the Aqua building, if they don't know, the Aqua building is super cool with the balconies that come out and it looks like waves on it. And depending on what angle you're shooting it, you know, you get really crazy looking stuff that you're like, what the heck is that? And it's like, those are balconies. I can't believe it. And this new Vista building has a little bit of that, right?
But yeah, I mean, there's some undulations, you know, on the facade of the building having, you know, you see renderings and things like that, but it's hard to say photographically, at least from an abstract perspective, what like opportunities.
I saw it the other
day. There will be until it's there. I can go and check it out.
It's there. It's quite a bit there. Like we saw it on the, I did a workshop last week with Steve Simon and we did the river tour, the architecture cruise, and you can see some cool Angie McMonagoli things on it for sure. So
well, I better get over there.
You better get over there. Yeah. You got to beat everyone to it for sure.
Oh, I know.
So you mentioned Jeannie Gang. Are there other architects that you that are kind of your favorites?
Well, Frank Gehry is amazing. We have the Pritzker Pavilion and the BP Bridge here by him. But I'd say my favorite building of his that I photographed is the Walt Disney Concert Hall in LA.
Yeah.
I mean, he has a couple of things in New York, but they're not as easy to photograph, or there aren't as many interesting opportunities as with like the Disney Concert Hall. So, yeah, he's a favorite. Calatrava. So, you know, Milwaukee Art Museum.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Oculus.
Have you photographed any others of his?
The Oculus in New York. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then in Toronto, he has the Alan Lambert Galleria that we photograph when we do that workshop. Cool. That one's a little more challenging of a location, I think, compared to Milwaukee and New York, but that's it of his so far.
Yeah. Well, I mean, maybe now's the time. Like what are some cities you'd like to visit or buildings you'd love to photograph that you haven't gotten to do?
Oh my God. Well, there's a lot of great locations in Spain, like Seville and Valencia. There's some really great architecture. Let's see. Well, anything by Zaha Hadid would be amazing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That new museum by Jean Nouvel, which I'm sure I'm killing that pronunciation. where is it? It's so bad.
Don't ask me.
I know. This is terrible.
That's why you're on the show, Angie.
No. The UAE. Somewhere over there.
Sure.
That's bad.
Yeah.
You should know that. But no, it's an incredible... It's like the Louvre there or whatever, whatever.
Awesome.
It's amazing. It looks great. I would love to shoot that.
One of these days for sure. You know, and this is a good time to say, you know, you call yourself, I'm saying this right, a fine art architecture photographer, right?
Sure.
I think it's on our website. But really you're mostly into modern architecture. Is that right?
Yeah. I think, well, older architecture, like the more historic, you know, you think of like Daniel Burnham days and like Louis Sullivan and stuff like that. It's a little too ornate for my taste. And to abstract that is not really easy to do. It doesn't work in that way. Like staircases in some of these older buildings are great for that. You know, a lot of them have these like great spiral staircases.
Like at the Rookery or whatever, right?
Yeah.
Which we're going to do again this year. It's going to be awesome. Yeah. We're going to have a free even longer time. It's, I should like plug this. Like at the Out of Chicago conference this summer, June 28th through the 30th, we will be, we've rented space. So we've rented the Rookery out. So we're all going to go over there, anyone that wants to, and photograph that awesome spiral staircase from above and below and all over. And Angie will be there helping people get awesome shots. You can't normally get in there unless you're on the tour. And if you're on the tour, you get to stand there about 5 seconds. But here we'll have it for as long as you want, pretty much.
Yeah.
So that's going to be really good.
It is.
As far as the Out of Chicago conference, do you know what you're teaching this year? We got to figure that out soon.
I know, Chris. What's up? Well, I know Michael and I are teaching 2 mini workshops. So I think they're like 3.5 or 4 hours. So kind of just a condensed version of what we normally do. And then I think I'm teaching or doing a couple presentations on like creative habits of creative habits of photography, but applicable to architecture stuff. And a lot of the examples will be that because it's obviously what I shoot. And then I think there's like critiques and one-on-one sessions you're having me do. And
we are having you do that. Yes, that's right.
And other photo walks.
And photo walks. Yeah. Do you know like what places you're going to take people? I know we've sent people to the Calder Flamingo quite a bit because it's close. We'll figure it out.
Yeah. I think one night you have, I think Michael and I both going to the 18th Street Bridge.
Okay.
And then I'm not sure with the other photo walks. I haven't figured it out, but usually stuff relatively close, and Calder ends up being in there, or 235 Van Buren. Union Station was just the restorations just completed a couple months ago, so that should be a pretty place to shoot.
Yeah, is it much different than it was before? I haven't been in there.
I mean, they just restored everything. So the, you know how the roof of like the main, like the grand room or whatever it's called. Mm-hmm. They redid that whole thing. And then, all the like detail stuff, I don't know. It's just so much brighter. It's like cleaner and more golden looking. And they put some lighting in places that didn't used to be there. So things just look brighter, I guess, and a lot better, but
yeah, that's one thing with the art, the photography that you do is you don't often get to control the lighting unless you're doing it like for a commercial shoot, right? So mm-hmm. hopefully it's lit well, or else you're kind of out of luck.
Yeah, well, and on a lot of these places, like these older buildings like Union Station or the Palmer House or stuff like that, it's so dark and you can't use tripods, so it gets a little challenging, but you figure out a way.
When you're doing your workshops, or when you're helping people on the photo walks here, what's like the number one thing that you can really help people with, because you're right there in person? Like, it's really hard to get it across in an ebook or a blog post or whatever, but since you're right there with them, what's the number one thing you can do to help people?
Well, I think one of the things that I notice that people struggle with a lot is, or that they don't do, is they don't take time at locations. Like, people will walk up and like make a shot and like, I'm done, like ready to move on. And, I think it's one of the bigger mistakes that people make around photography and whatever it is that they're photographing, is that you need to take time. That those like early initial first shots are usually pretty easy. Or obvious, or kind of what everybody does. And I think it's in staying longer and kind of spending the time that you kind of push yourself and force yourself to get more interesting types of shots. In terms of me being able to help, I do think obviously giving tips on like the kind of lens that works for a specific type of shot, and then making a few shots myself and then showing them to the students, just to give them like idea and perspective of like what I'm seeing, where I was standing when I made that shot. Like simple details, like how the camera's angled, or, you know, which part of the building I'm looking at, or how the building interacts from different spaces. Like Aqua is a good example of this, because the closer you get to it, the more abstract it gets. I mean, you need a telephoto lens for that space, but if you get close to the building and shoot up, you can get certain areas where the balconies and the buildings, or the balconies and the windows, disappear, and all you get are like the lines and the ripples of the balcony. And if you're too far away, that's impossible. And being able to show people where to stand and what kind of lens to use and what part to be looking at, at least gives them kind of a direction in how to approach it themselves. I mean, it's, the point is not for them to make the exact same shot that I'm doing. Nobody wants to do that. Like, that's boring. But I mean, there are certain buildings that you do come away with and people have very similar shots. But in the number of workshops that I've done, I'm also very surprised often by how just a few pointers, I see things like students will come back with images that I'm like, what? Where did you get that?
Right.
I didn't see that. Photographed this building 10 times and I still haven't seen that. So it is interesting to see that how they take my tips and interpret them and use them themselves to get their own perspective and take on the same space with those same tips, you know, but with a different vision.
Yeah. It's really hard to just point at something and say, look how cool that looks. But if you can point your camera at it and snap a shot, you know, it's crazy how many times you can show that to someone. They go, whoa, that looks super cool. I had no idea that's what you were seeing. And now they take that, and it doesn't mean they're doing the same shot, as you say, but going off of that idea, now they can start making something really cool that if you were there by yourself, you wouldn't really see. But back to your original point, which was going to be one of my questions, like how long do you stay at one place? You get to a new building, you've never been there before, and you want to get some cool stuff out of it. It's obviously not a 3-4 minute thing when you're at a new place. What do you usually do?
Well, there's a couple parts to this. When I'm by myself, if I'm shooting for myself and not in a workshop setting or something like that, I'd say at a minimum a half hour. But I've spent over 4 hours at a building. And it depends. Like not every building is as interesting as others. So it really depends on that. But I think you need at least at a minimum 20 to 30 minutes. However, on a workshop, it's a little different because you're trying to get a lot in a given day, so that people can explore, you know, a lot of the things that the city has to offer. So it's a little bit different. I'd say it, depending on the location, it varies from 15 minutes to an hour and a half that we'll spend at a location. Like the Oculus in New York, when we teach that, when we've taught that, and we'll be back there in September, I think we have an hour and a half scheduled there because there's so many different parts of the structure to photograph, from outside to the main lobby area to the like part that's like more underground and is a path that leads to other area, like I think other subways mm-hmm. and stuff like that. Yeah. So a building like that, you spend a lot of time. It's like the Walt Disney Concert Hall in LA. We spend at least an hour there, sometimes an hour and a half if we can spend more time inside. But then there's some places where 15 minutes is sufficient. So it really just depends.
Yeah, no, totally makes sense. But this is one of those things that if you, like you said, were reading your blog posts or whatever, you'd be like, oh, wow, and these are amazing shots, and those are some good tips. But it's not until you actually get to work alongside someone like Angie here that you actually see how she works. And I talk about this when I do my presentations on composition or photographing Chicago. And I even have pictures of Angie shooting where she's just like pointed straight up. Oh, yeah. No, these are good. Yeah. You look good, Angie. Don't worry.
Sure.
You do. But the point is that she'll be looking straight up. It was at the University of Chicago, is that the new art center or whatever that's mm-hmm. there. And you're photographing with your camera straight up in the air. And I remember watching you and you were in the same spot for 10, 15 minutes. And I'm like, it's got to be the exact same shot. And I remember you showing me and you're like, no. I just moved my lens like just the tiniest bit this way or this way. And then I saw you shuffling your feet forward and backward just to be in the exact right spot. And people don't understand that. They see your pictures and they go, oh man, she's just got the eye and I'll never be able to do that. But as you're saying, you need to find something interesting, but then you need to work that scene and keep going and keep trying to find it so it's just right until you get it to be the most interesting. And I think that's what you do so well.
Thank you.
But people don't don't always do that. So yeah, take the time to work that scene.
Yeah, all right, I think it's, sorry, one more thing on that. Yeah, I think it's also, people have a, you know, one of the questions I get asked a lot, like, oh, do you ever go back to a location? Well, obviously, given the workshops that I teach. But even outside of that, yeah. And of course, sometimes I'm kind of bored by a location, maybe because it's been the 20th time I've been there. But surprisingly, I think some of my most interesting shots are those like revisits later and later, because I have to look so much harder to find something new that you're forced to try to find like more interesting and unique perspectives that you would never find if you'd only go once, because you find good stuff that first time. It's new, it's fresh, it's like exciting and everything looks good. But the more you go back, you just end up repeating the same shots if you don't push yourself to like try to find something new. And it can be frustrating and discouraging, and sometimes you don't come away with something, but I'd have to say that some of my best stuff is on, you know, those many revisits, and I might only come back with one shot instead of 10, but that's totally fine.
Yeah, for sure. So let's switch gears and talk about what we were saying earlier. You sell a lot of licenses to hotels. And when you say that, you're saying like basically they're paying for permission to print your images. Is that right? Or you're working through, what is it? A fine art buyer. Is that right? Can you tell us about this process a little bit? And can you give people like the advice for someone that wants to get into this, and maybe they want to get into it for, they're not going to compete with you, Angie. Maybe they want to get into it for their flower photography or their landscape photography or whatever it may be. But can you give us some advice for how we kind of could break into that whole scene?
Yeah.
And so, I know it's a ton of work. I know you put a ton of work into this stuff too. So
yeah, I mean, early on, I'd say in 2012 was the first time I ever got contacted by an art consultant, and I had no clue what that was and didn't know that this was a thing. So I obviously had to do a little bit of research on what that is. So what they are is kind of like a, you know how some people hire interior designers to help them like decorate their homes and things like that? Art consultants often are that, but on a commercial scale. So they procure artwork for things like hotels, corporate offices, public spaces of like large condo developments, hospitals, things like that. So that's what they do. So they're kind of like the middleman between the artist and the end client, which are these hotels and offices and whatever. So they'll come to me and be like, hey, we want to pitch like these images for this project, or, hey, we have this project and they're looking for this kind of work. Do you have anything? And then they, will ask me what my pricing is, and they'll pitch the work to their client, the owner of the hotel brand. It's usually a number of people, at least with hotels, there's a, cause that's what I work most in. There's usually a number of people who have to like sign off on it. It's the individual who owns the hotel and then the brand of the hotel. And probably some other people I don't even know about. But then, if that happens, if they do choose my images, the art consultant will get a license from me. So they say they want to put an image in 200 hotel rooms. In the guest rooms for, let's say they want to be like 16 by 20 images. So there's usually a size that I'm aware of and then a quantity. And then I give them pricing based on those two things. And then they sign a licensing agreement agreeing to only print the image at this size, this number of times to be placed in this location. So that's all that they have the rights to. If they ever want to use that image again for another project, they have to come back to me and go through the whole process again. So then I will license on the image. They take the high resolution image file and they do the printing, the framing, however they're going to produce it. Sometimes it's on canvas, sometimes it's on acrylic, sometimes it's on metal, sometimes it's a print in a standard frame. Whatever that situation is, sometimes I know what the final result is. Sometimes I don't. Sometimes they want to crop the images. They ask permission for that. You know, it depends. It's up to you how you feel about that.
Have there been times when you see the final result and you're like, oh, geez, what a terrible print that they made, or I can't believe they cropped it like that?
No, I don't see all of the final results of all the projects. I sometimes don't even know where they're going to end up. But the ones that I do know about and have seen, I've never been disappointed in what they've done.
Oh, remember when we saw your one when we went to Oregon?
I know, that's
was
so
that crazy.
Crazy.
Michelle and I were scouting hotels in Oregon, and I'm like, oh my goodness, that is absolutely one of Angie's photos. I would know that for sure. There's no doubt about it. So we got a picture of Michelle and I and the photo in the background, and Angie and texted it, and Angie's like, yeah, that's mine for sure.
That's
yep.
So crazy. Uh-huh.
Yeah, so they're cool. All over the place.
Yeah. I mean, they are.
how did they find you in the first place? How did these art consultants find you in the first place?
I don't 100% know. I ask on occasion how they found me. A lot of times they're just the generic Google search. And I think the fact that I blog consistently helps my website have decent SEO and like come, because I don't pay for like Google listings. I'm not, if you type in any type of photography that would relate to what I do, I do not come up on the first page for anything. I also still think a lot of art consultants use Flickr and Instagram as places to source work. So I think hashtagging or like keywording on Flickr those images, because I do think a lot of my stuff comes through Flickr, oddly.
I think the Flickr stuff really shows up in Google searches for some reason. When people have reached out to me, I think that's why. If you tag it in, like you said, in Flickr, for whatever reason, that comes up. But
For sure. Because if you type, like I've done searches where I've typed in a particular type of photo and my images come up on the first image search thing quite often. And sometimes it's because I have a ton of images from a particular place, especially in Chicago. But so I come up a lot. So I think that that's still a large amount of what happens. But Instagram is becoming increasingly more common, where I think people have found me and been like, oh, I follow your work, or oh, I saw this image. And whether it's because of hashtags, like them searching hashtags, or if it's being featured in hubs, I don't honestly have like the science or like real data behind it.
But it's all those always, things are important that you need to be blogging. I like that. You need to be putting it on Instagram, social media, and enough of that. And people are going to find you.
Yeah, I definitely think like, at least for the more artsy type of stuff, I think Instagram and Flickr are probably your best things, as well as blogging. But I don't think Facebook and like LinkedIn or Twitter work as well for that type of work.
The one other one I see people do well on is like 500px, especially amongst landscape photographers mostly. Maybe. So I think there's just a big landscape photography community there.
Yeah, I haven't done anything with 500px in a really long time.
I think you're doing fine. So
I haven't put a photo on there in years. But the social media stuff is very time consuming. So at a certain point, you need to pick and choose like where you think you're getting your biggest payoff and what you most like to do. Like I love Instagram. Like I like the format. I like that it's just very visual and you don't have to weed through a million like post about random stuff I don't care about or rants.
I think that's the best advice you could give anyone, and I totally agree with those two things. When it comes to social media, just pick two things that you're going to just concentrate on and make it two things that you enjoy and go with that. Don't try and get everything. It's too much work, as you say.
It was not feasible. Like for a while I was trying to do a lot more earlier on. Like I was doing, in addition to the, you know, Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, Twitter, I was also doing like Google Plus when that was around, and then 500px, and then Art Unlimited, like two other sites that were like more artsy. And I'm like, oh, I can't, it's too much. It's what's the point at a certain point? There are certain things that pay off more and you have to stick with what is, like I said, most interesting to you.
So at this point, you are 100% a full-time photographer, whether it's from the licensing or commercial work or the workshops that you do. And in probably all of our listeners' minds, you're living the dream. Can you tell? Oh, I see the look on her face. We're on the video. Can you just tell people? I don't know like what I'm looking for exactly here, but you know, what is the life of a full-time professional photographer like? What is it, living the dream? Is it a whole lot more work than people think?
I think it's a combination. It's definitely a lot more work than people think, and it's probably not the kind of work that people think. Since doing this more full-time the last couple of years, I shoot a lot less than I ever did. Most of my shooting takes place on workshops because obviously that's what I'm there to do, is to teach and take photos. I still occasionally go out on my own, but not nearly as much as I would like to. So much of my time is spent marketing, whether that's, you know, the fun things like Instagram, you know, and the social media, or it's the drudgery and the things that really suck and are hard about like researching contacts and cold calling them and cold emailing them. And then, you know, you send them an email like, hey, I do this, it might work for your client. And then they don't respond. And then you need to call them, and then you need to email them again, and then call them again. And it sounds crazy, like you're a pest. But the thing is like those cold emails, depending on how you frame it, they do decently. But the people that don't respond to that, because I'm sure these art consultants get like a gazillion emails, then I call them. Some of them are like, oh my God, thank you so much for calling. You know, I missed it. You know, love your work, whatever. Some of them, it's a no, of course. Not everybody loves me.
We love you, Angie. That's all that matters. We love you.
But I'd say like just being persistent in like constantly doing that and then like researching more and finding more and networking and trying to meet them when you're in the city that they live in, because they're not, most of them are not in Chicago. It's a lot of like that kind of work, behind the scenes stuff that nobody knows about, you know, that nobody sees, and it's not fun. It's not glamorous. It's not exciting, but it has to be done, you know? And then of course there's the business stuff, like quotes and invoices and things taxes. Like that. But hey, whatever, that means you're getting a job, you're going to get paid, but you do have to do that. Which is fine. You know, and then you have like the accounting stuff that,
yeah. Horrible.
Like, thank God for accountants, but,
for sure. Yeah.
But it's great. I love it. I wouldn't trade it to like go back to, like a corporate job or like a 9-to-5 kind of a thing and working for somebody else. Like, it's great having the freedom. I work 7 days a week most of the time, at least to some extent. It's rare that I take an entire day and do no work. It's extremely rare. And it's the bad thing about working for yourself and just kind of constantly feeling that drive to do more. Like, oh, it's never done. I have a million other things, you know, I should be doing or could be doing, or God, I could be like so much more successful if I just did this or that, or, you know, it's also, you know, I don't know. I'd rather do that and like have the flexibility to pick my kids up from school or, and then work a little bit here and there. But I do think I need better balance and take a day off fully.
You should take a day off. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
It's hard, but whatever.
Yeah. No. I mean, that's part of it though, is, you know, there's such a thing as getting in the zone when you're photographing, but you kind of got to get in the zone for all this business stuff too, and you got to enjoy some of it. So yeah. It's just a lot of work behind the scenes, and that's the number one thing I hear from people is the first thing you said, which is that when I finally kind of went full time and this is now a job, I am shooting so much less than I did before, which is the one thing people don't realize when they get into this. They think, oh, that's great, I'll just be taking pictures all the time, and that is just not the case.
No, yeah. It's not. And you have to like the business part of it as much as you like the photo part, or you're never going to succeed in it, because you'll just be so miserable that you'll quit, because you have to do these things. You have to like it. And personally, I like all aspects of it. Like, are there some days where I'm like, oh God, do I really have to call these people? You know, but you have to have that, you know, self-motivation and kind of drive to do it. And I don't always, none of us do. Like, there's days where I'm like, just procrastinate and do something else because it's easier. But, you know.
Yeah. No, I hear you for sure. So you've been doing a little more commercial work lately too. Is that right? For some commercial clients? That's mm-hmm. a totally different type of photography. Yes or no?
It is. And it depends.
Explain the types of things you're doing or you're kind of getting into for that.
So it's been more of a gradual process, which I don't know, I guess you could say about everything I've ever done with photography. But
anything for anyone. Yes, for sure.
Yeah. So I work with a few architecture or design firms and do shoots of their completed projects. So say like an architect does a building and they want it photographed, you know, once it's done. But it's not about photographing just the details and creating abstracts and turning that building into something else. That's not going to do anything for them. It's about documenting it. So it's, you know, knowing when the light is good, using a tripod, you know, things that, like, don't love the tripod, but
we didn't talk about that,
shooting,
but that's right.
Sure.
Angie very rarely uses a tripod, but yes, that's the big, that's one big thing that makes us different. Yeah. For the commercial stuff, everything's got to be lined up, right?
Yeah.
Right.
It's,
yeah.
Well, it's just a different and more methodical approach. With the abstract stuff, I think a tripod gets in the way, but with the commercial stuff, it's necessary. And oftentimes you're shooting indoors in low light. Like, you're not, like with an Amstrad, you can bump the ISO up and you'll be fine and whatever. It's a different kind of image. But with commercial stuff, like, it's just never going to work. Like, you need a tripod, you need things to be lined up. Sometimes you need to bracket. Like, there's just different things that you have to take into place for, take into consideration where it's just, it's necessary. So yeah, I've just been doing a little bit more of that. It's been a lot of, interior stuff so far. I wouldn't mind doing more, you know, exterior stuff, but I think I'm probably stronger, like compositionally and like technically and things like that with like interiors and things like that than I am with like the outdoor stuff and like all of that. I don't know, but it's a learning thing. So, but it's been fun. It's interesting. I had a shoot this week, like 2 days ago, at a hotel for a client that does like signage and stuff. So it's kind of a mix of some wider contextual shots and then some more detailed, which falls in line with just a lot of what I do on the more artistic end as well. So it's fun. I don't know. I like the mix. I like the variety of doing that commercial stuff, then the abstract stuff, and then the workshops and different kinds of workshops and different types of teaching. It's nice that it's never the same thing all the time.
Yeah, no, that's what you got to do. You got to kind of mix it up and do it in a way that you enjoy. So I think you're doing a really good job of it. So tell us where we can go. Angie McMonagle, you want to spell your last name?
Sure.
You want to spell your whole name? Go ahead, do it.
My first name too.
A-N-G-I-E. I got that part.
A-N-G-I-E. And then my last name is McMonagal.
Good job.
.com.
Good work. So yeah. AngieMcMonagle.com and photographyunfolded.com is where you run your workshops with Michael Mraz. And did I say that right, by the way?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah? Okay, good. So so both those places, you have actually, you guys have an ebook that you've done on photographing abstracts, which is kind of what you're known for. And that's available for free download at your Photography Unfolded site.
Yeah.
And anything else you want to point people to on Instagram?
No, about the Photography Unfolded stuff. If people do go there and look at the workshops, if you do sign up for it because of, you know, you guys and our relationship. So the discount, there's a discount code that we always offer for anyone that comes through you guys. And it's just OOC for any workshop.
So, okay. OOC for out of Chicago. Awesome. So use the code OOC to get a discount on any of their upcoming workshops. I know you've got a few you mentioned, and get on their newsletter, because I mean, it's kind of the same thing for us. Get on Angie's newsletter, get on our newsletter at outofchicago.com, because you'll be the first one to know about their workshops. You'll be the first one to know about our upcoming conferences and any discounts we do. So yeah, that's the best thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, and you guys do a really nice newsletter. So
thanks.
Yeah. And you do too, right? Just on your own. Is that right, Angie?
Yeah. My newsletter on my own is a little, I mean, it's different than it's not teachy based. Where the Photography Unfolded one is more about teaching and things you can learn.
I always just like to know what you're up to. So I'm always on your newsletter.
Chris.
Of course. Yeah. All right. Thank you so much, Angie, for doing this, taking time out of your day. I know you said you had a lot of work, all those calls and everything that you got to make today. So,
this was a good way to procrastinate
this
on that, right?
This is better, right? This is more fun.
So much better.
Yeah. This is almost like a day off, I'd say.
Almost vacation mode.
Yeah. Vacation mode. Exactly. All right. Thank you so much, Angie. We will see you in June at the Out of Chicago Conference. Yeah. And it's going to be great. Can't
wait. Looking forward to it.
All right. Love you.
Bye.
Bye, Angie. We'll be right back.